to have you here with us. You know, we say it all the time, but we do mean it. There's so many great churches in the Jackson metro area you could choose to worship at. You choosing to worship here at Word of Life is our honor and privilege, and we're just excited to have you. And we know this is going to be a great year for you. Amen. You think so? You think it's going to be a good year for you? I think so too. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to look here at verse 20. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands and our ushers will be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. That one's yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and you just didn't bring it this morning, you can give it back to our ushers at the end of the service. Our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. Amen. So in order to do that, we want you to have a Bible if you desire one. I was telling the other services that a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a CD on church growth. And it was talking about how you don't need to open up your Bible too much during service and teach out of it. Apparently, there are a lot of churches now that don't even open up the Bible. And their logic behind it was, you know, it may make people feel uncomfortable when they open it up and realize they don't know where things are at and where certain books of the Bible are at. It may hinder them from coming back to the church. I don't think so at all. It was under my understanding that church is supposed to be a place where you open up the Bible so that when you go home, you know where the stuff is at. That our faith is not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so here we are desiring to open up the Bible, and there at my house, that CD is in a place where no one could ever listen to it again. Matthew chapter 17, let's look here in verse 20. We're going to read this scripture a couple of times here. I really want this to get into your heart, and I would encourage you, if you can, that throughout this week, meditate on this scripture, roll it over in your heart. Jesus is talking here, and he says in Matthew 17 and verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." Now, what has happened here is there was a man who had a son who was demon-possessed. And you can imagine the father's heart was obviously emotionally stirred and concerned for his boy. And so he brings his child to the disciples and asks them to take care of this situation. Well, apparently they tried and it didn't work. And later Jesus walks up and the man tells this to Jesus, that he's got a son here who's dealing with this condition. And he brought him to his disciples and the disciples couldn't cast it out. So Jesus cast out the demon, and after that, the disciples come to him and say, "Lord, why weren't we able to cast it out?" And Jesus answers them in verse 20 and said, "It's because of your unbelief." Now, get at what they're asking. They're asking, "Lord, why weren't we able to produce? Why weren't we able to see production?" And Jesus answers them with that statement, "It's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Let's read it again. "And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say," that's a key phrase, "you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible unto you." Let's read that last phrase again. "And nothing will be impossible unto you." Who's the you he's talking about here? The you he's talking about is someone who is the possessor of an itty-bitty amount of faith. Faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Someone who has an itty bitty amount of faith, and who is them using that faith by speaking unto the mountains in their life. He says, for that person, for you, for this person who has a small amount of faith, but who's using that faith, for that person, nothing shall be impossible unto them. What this is talking about here is the subject of faith, obviously. And faith is the tool that God has given you and me to access His power on this earth. Our faith, it doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. Our faith is not even to stand in our own ability. Our faith is to be in God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 says, have faith in God. Put your faith in God. Well, anyone who has any type of understanding at all, even if they just believed in a God, would say that God is almighty, that God is all powerful. Like we said last week, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. If God wants to affect change, people would say He can. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. There's nothing God cannot do. I think we could all readily agree with that, that God is all powerful. But faith is the tool He's given man to access that power. That's why if you just have a small amount of faith, the size of a mustard seed, a grain of a mustard seed, and you use that faith and that faith accesses God's power, there's nothing in your life that cannot be changed. There's no situation that cannot be turned around. There's no disease that can stay. If God is at work in someone's body, health is bound to be restored to them. If God's at work on the job, it's bound to be more effective, more productive. If God's at work in our life and in our homes and in our relationships, they're bound to be filled with love. They're bound to be filled with joy. I think we could all readily agree that a life with God should be far greater than a life without Him. But the way we access God's power in this life, it is by faith. That is why the Bible instructs us clearly that the just are to walk by faith. The just are to live by faith. Romans goes as far to say that if it's not of faith, it is of sin. Powerful statements that you're to wake up every day and live by faith. Jesus said that with this faith in motion, with this faith active, that there are no limits in your life. There's no stronghold that could bind you, that your education can't bind you anymore, or your lack thereof, your opportunities in the natural can't bind you, that with this power of faith, nothing is impossible. I think people in some way believe this, but they believe it as, well, you got to have great faith in order for that to happen. And, you know, I'm just new to the faith, or, you know, that's for ministers. And, you know, if I have something in my life that needs to be taken care of, I'll go to Pastor Joel at the end of service to pray for me, because he's paid to have faith. And you know, I'll go to him because, you know, we need great faith to access this. And, you know, that type of thing. And what Jesus was doing in Matthew chapter 17 was completely, I mean, it's so awesome. He's opening up the possibilities for every believer, no matter what level of faith they are on. Yes, every one of us should strive to grow in our faith. That's part of the reason why we're here worshiping this morning, is we understand faith comes by how? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, faith comes. And we should all be readily attentive to that and desiring to see our faith grow and develop. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, this is not just the words of a preacher, this is the words of our Lord and our Savior. He says, if you have just itty bitty faith, If you have faith that's as small as a grain of a mustard seed, and you start using it, and you start speaking to the mountains in your life, he says, there's nothing that's impossible to you. Why? When you're doing that, it's releasing God in your life. Why be defeated when you can draw upon a higher power? Why live a life constantly working out of our own strength? I know a businessman who's been in our church for quite some time. And, you know, I think it was about 2 years ago, he just started coming to the church and we were preaching on this subject of faith. And he came down and he said, you know what? I've been doing what you've been instructing. I mean, I've been waking up every morning and speaking life over my business, speaking blessings over my business. He said, it's working. That thing is turning. Well, a couple of months later, he came back to me and asked for prayer, and his business had gone the other way. I said, but wait a minute. A couple of months ago, you were saying you were speaking life and speaking blessings and things were turning around. I said, what happened to that? He said, well, I don't really know what happened. I said, let me ask you this. Are you still excited about your confession like you were back then? Are you still saying it with the same fervency, saying it with the same power, saying it with the same excitement? He said, well, you know, I can't say that I am. You could have the greatest faith in all the world, but if you never use it, it's not going to do you a bit of good. And you could have the tiniest faith in all the world, but if you use it on a consistent basis, it will move mountains and nothing is impossible to you. That's the message Jesus was preaching. And he didn't just emphasize this once or twice. The whole message of Christ was to have faith in God. Story after story. Luke chapter 18, the woman with the unjust judge, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman without a covenant, coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know that I'm not fit to eat at the master's table, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, great is your faith. He emphasized faith over and over and over again. Why? He's trying to open up man's possibilities. That no longer in this life are you limited to your own strength. That every one of us should be using our God gift talents and abilities and refining them and being the best we can be as natural individual people. But beyond that natural ability, there is a supernatural power that you and I can access. I believe that businessmen who have God working with them ought to produce better results than businessmen who don't. I actually believe that the Christian's divorce rate should be nil, not higher than that of the world, because we have God working in our marriages. I believe our kids have the opportunity to excel and in school and to receive even more wisdom because the life of God is the light of men. I believe that our lives ought to be better after we get born again, because now we're walking with God versus when we weren't. And the power that access God and puts him in every one of those arenas is the force of faith. And what Jesus is saying is, it's not a matter of great or big or small or little. It is a matter of, if you just use the faith that you have, you can move mountains and nothing will be impossible to you. Use the faith that you have. I heard a story. I was reading a book and saw it in there. It was about a man named Maurice Flint, and this was years ago. He was a man who was married and had two boys, two sons. And he had a lot of natural abilities, but just was never able to translate that over into success. Have you ever met anyone that way? I mean, it seemed like that they had things about their natural personality and skill set that it just seems like they should be further ahead in life than they are. And that's how this individual was, Maurice. He was struggling with life, struggling in marriage, struggling in business. He would get in something and start working on it, but as soon as any type of thing happened negatively, he would back out of it. And he just developed a very critical, judgmental attitude towards himself, life, and others. And one day he saw a pamphlet. I don't know where he saw it, but he saw a pamphlet entitled Mustard Seed Faith. And he picked it up and just read through it. And it was basically what I'm telling you to do now, that God really can change your life, that he really can expand your horizons if you will just use the faith that you have. And he didn't fully understand it, and some of you may not fully understand it. Stick around, we're going to keep teaching you will. But he didn't fully understand it, but he thought, that makes a little bit of sense, and just held on to that. Well, a couple of days later, he thought, you know what I'll do? I'll call the author. And he saw the author and their contact information on the back of the pamphlet. And he called up, and it was based out of a church that was in New York. He lived in Philadelphia. And he got in contact with the secretary who was over the church and found out service times. And he made a decision to drive his family every single week all the way from Philadelphia to New York because he knew he needed to sit under that type of teaching. So, I mean, every Sunday, rain or shine, they're going out there driving all the way from Philadelphia to New York, hearing these messages on faith. Well, finally, about a couple of weeks later, the minister preached from that pamphlet, talked about having faith the size of a mustard seed, that even if that's all you have, you can still move mountains and nothing will be impossible to you if you just use it. And he went home and the next morning woke up and he told his wife, he said, you know, I find that it's real easy for me to use faith when I'm in that church. He said, when I'm in that church and I'm around all those people and the praise and worship and the teaching of the word, it's really easy for me to get excited about life and to get my faith up. He said, the problem is when I come home and wake up Monday morning and that energy's not there and that excitement's not there. He said, I need something to remind me to use my faith. He said, do we have any mustard seeds in the house? And she said, well, yeah, I think we have some in a jar over there in the cabinet. But she said, I think that that's just a figure of speech. He said, if Jesus said faith as a mustard seed, I want to see a mustard seed. So she took him over there to the cabinet and pulled out the mustard seed jar. And he opened it up and grabbed one of the seeds and looked at it and said, that's it? That's all the faith I need to change my life? Now, if you've never seen a mustard seed, you will, because when you leave here, I'm going to give you some mustard seeds, literally, where you can see. That's all the faith I need. If I just use that amount of faith, I can see my life change. Well, he got it. That principle became revelation to him. He said, I'm going to use my faith. So he takes the seed and he puts it in his pocket. The only problem is that the seed is so little he keeps losing them. So he thinks, you know, I need to think of a way to find some type of contraption that will hold this seed for me where I won't keep losing it. So he thought, you know, I wonder if I could just find a little plastic sphere and put the seed in a plastic sphere where I can carry it around as a ball in my pocket or connect it to my keychain or watch chain or even put it on a piece of jewelry like a bracelet so my wife can wear that type of thing. So he went around trying to find a sphere to put the seed in, contacted a plastic expert to ask him about it. And when he's asking him about it, the expert says it's never been done before, therefore it can't be done. It's funny how experts think. And anyway, so he went away kind of dejected, but he realized there's got to be some way. So he invented a little plastic sphere that you could stick this little mustard seed in. And he made it up and like I said, made a ball for his pocket, made it as a little piece of jewelry to go on a bracelet for his wife and connected it to his watch chain and carried it around with him. And what it did was it served as a reminder as just use your faith. No matter where your faith is at now, just use the faith that you have. So he's walking around and using his faith, using that mustard seed reminder as a base to remind himself to use the faith that he had. Well, sure enough, he sent those little spheres and the jewelry and other little things to the preacher who was in New York. And just, you know, wanted to say thank you for teaching him how to live by faith and how that principle was impacting his life. And when the preacher saw it, he realized there's an opportunity here. There are other people who would want these. So he called him back and, you know, they talked about selling it and marketing it, those types of things. Well, he got in touch with a lady who owned a magazine. That lady got in touch with someone who was over a department store. When the department store guy saw it, he said, I'd like to sell those in my store. So he ordered a pretty big shipment of it. They got delivered to his store. More people started hearing about it and then got printed up in a couple of newspapers there locally about how people were being touched by these little mustard seed remembrancers. And then it got in a national magazine. Tons of people were placing orders from all over the United States, so much so that he had to open up a factory to manufacture all of these things. That didn't just happen because it was a costume piece of jewelry. This is what faith is designed to do. If you'd have told that man a year ahead of time, you're going to sell thousands and thousands of dollars worth of jewelry with mustard seeds in it, I am sure he would have laughed you in the face. But faith takes the limits off of life. Faith opens up your possibilities. It removes your life out of the place of where it's just about what you can do. And it opens it up to where it's about what God can do through you and what God can do for you. Go to the book of Mark. We'll see this here in Mark chapter 5. Beautiful passage of faith and story of faith here in Mark chapter 5. We'll find the story here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had but was nothing better. Instead, she grew worse. Now think about this lady. Here she is. She's got this blood disease. She's gone to doctor after doctor after doctor. Spent all the money that she has in her possession. For 12 years, she has sought a cure. But not only was she not cured, she was growing worse year by year. In the natural, her possibilities for living an effective life were next to nil. Told countless times by these doctors that her situation was incurable. And here she is in that state, where in the natural, it looks like so many strongholds are keeping her back from living her life physically with this illness. She spent all the money that she's ever made to combat it. So financially, she's not in a good place. All of these things keeping her from an excellent life. But one day, something changed. It was something very small, but it was something that changed her life. Watch what happens to her in this state. Verse 27, it's real quick here, so let's not overlook it. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, one day she's sitting in her house and apparently she heard of Jesus. She never heard Jesus preach a message. She wasn't one of the ones on the mound when Jesus fed the 5,000. And she didn't hear the Beatitudes. She never heard Jesus preach. She never walked with the Lord. She wasn't a disciple who walked with him for 3 years. She heard of Jesus. Well, if you read the story, you realize she must have heard that Jesus heals, that he's a healer. Because when she hears of him, faith arises in her heart. Now, we know that because of what we're going to see here in the next couple of scriptures. Here's what I want you to see. She had just heard of Jesus. faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But she had a conversation with someone and she just heard of Jesus. And this seed of faith was sown into her heart. Now, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, that if you just have a small amount of faith, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you use it and you start speaking to the mountains in your life, that nothing will be impossible to you. This woman, she hears of Jesus. That seed of faith was sown into her heart. And watch what happens next. When she heard of Jesus, verse 27, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she did what? What did she do? For she did what? She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. The Amplified Version says that she kept saying. When she kept saying, when I touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made whole. She heard of Jesus and she said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When she's pressing her way through the multitude, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When she's struggling just to get to the bottom of his garment, you can imagine in order to get down there to touch it, she's got to be on her hands and knees pressing through this multitude. But the whole time she's pressing, she's saying. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17. If you just got a small amount of faith, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you say, then nothing will be impossible to you. This woman had an impossibility in her life, a physical stronghold, and it's about to break free. She's pressing through the multitude. The whole time she's doing it, she's saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And watch what happens here in verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you want to know who touched you? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy what? Faith hath made thee what? Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. Your faith, it's made you whole. What was this woman's story of faith? She didn't go to a seminar. She didn't have a word church down the street that she could go and hear the word taught. She didn't have a book on three steps to overcoming faith. All she did was she heard of Jesus. A little seed of faith was sown into her heart. But she did what so few people seem to fail to do. She took massive, mountain-moving action. She pressed through the multitude. She kept saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And Jesus said, daughter, it was your faith that made you whole. If he would have said, it was my power that made you whole, forever people could have taught from this and say, you got to wait for God's power to show up in your life, and maybe he will, maybe he won't heal you, bless you, help you. He didn't say that. Was his power in motion? Yes. Jesus said he felt virtue, power go out of him. But the thing was, is the disciples, when Jesus asked, who touched me? He said, what do you mean who touched you? You got a whole multitude of people touching you, and you want us to tell you who touched you? He's talking about a different kind of touch. It's a touch of faith. There were a lot of people that day around Jesus, touching him, thronging him, who got nothing. And it was not because God didn't love them or love that woman more than he loved them. The difference was when that woman touched Jesus' garment, she had faith. She hadn't gone to a seminar. We don't know how big her faith was. But Jesus said, if it's just little mustard seed faith, and you use it, nothing will be impossible unto you. What are you doing with your faith? We may at all be on different levels of faith. We may have all walked with the Lord for different amount of years or sat under different types of teaching. But the question is, what are you doing with the faith that you have? What are you doing with the seed of faith that's been sown into your heart? We'll go over to one final scripture. We'll close with this. Mark chapter 11. You're in Mark anyway. Let's go over a couple of pages and look here in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Anything good in Mark chapter 11? Yeah, I think there's a little bit there. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. That's what God's crying out to us today. Have faith in me. You know, it's so funny when people talk about prayer. Well, we've done all we can do. I guess all that we can do now is pray. Like it's the last worst case scenario. I mean, we tried everything in the natural, and now the only thing left is prayer. And God's saying, have faith in me. I long to come in your life and help you. Have faith in me. Pick me. He's like the kid on the soccer team who never gets picked. Pick me. Pick me. Have faith in me. Have faith in God. And then he goes beyond that and he says, do something with that faith. Use that faith. And watch what he says in verse 23. It sounds a lot like Matthew chapter 17. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever means anybody, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if he doesn't doubt in his heart, but he believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said, have faith in me. Okay, great God, we thank you. We have faith in you. What do we do now? Okay, we're going to have faith in you. What do we do from here? Jesus says, start saying. Start saying, speak to the mountains that are in your life. Speak to the things that need to change. Speak to it. Speak to it. You'll have whatsoever you say with faith, and you start speaking that faith. Nothing's impossible to you. Start speaking to those mountains. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for verily, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. What are you saying? Friend, I'm telling you, I don't know what level of faith you're at this morning, but I can promise you this. If you wake up every day and you start saying, start using whatever amount of faith you have, you're going to see the limits of your life just constantly be taken off. It's not a matter of what you can do. It's a matter of what God can do through you, and through Christ, I can do all things. To be of God, nothing can stop it. If Christ is for us, who or what can be against us? Use the faith that you have. I sent an email to myself. It's true, I did. I opened up my computer a couple of days ago and I saw I had an email from me. I thought, that's odd. Yeah, and so I opened it up, and what it was I have an iPhone, and on that phone there is a note-taking app, and I took a note, and I meant a year ago to send it to my email as a reminder, and there's a thing that you can do in there that you can, you know, send this note and make sure that you remember it, and it'll send it to you in an email. So I did that. I set it up and was going to send it to me as an email. But I did that last year thinking I'll get it in a couple of days. Well, I guess when I did it, I must have hit 2012 because I didn't get it to a couple of days ago, and I completely forgot it. But you know what the email was? All it read was this. I had taken this note. Your voice in God's ears is all he needs to change your world. Your voice in God's ears is all he needs to change your world. Your voice in God's ears, That's all he needs. What are God's ears hearing about your kids from your mouth? What are God's ears hearing about your business, about your finances? What's he hearing about your marriage? What's he hearing about your home? What's he hearing about this year? What's he hearing? Your voice in God's ears. What did Jesus say in Mark 11, verse 23? He shall have whatsoever he saith. What's he hearing? My experience, people who've walked with the Lord for a while and know these principles, they're not losing because they're saying the wrong thing. They're losing because they're not saying anything. The absence of a confession can be just as negative as a wrong confession. What is God hearing? Over in the book of Numbers, you know, the children of Israel, they're on the way to the promised land, but everyone's murmuring and complaining, talking about what they see instead of talking to it, talking about the mountain instead of talking to the mountain, complaining, no confession of faith. You know what God spoke to them one day? You can look it up later. It's in Numbers chapter 14. I wrote it down just in case you want to do some homework. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28. God comes down and he speaks to him. And you know what he says? He says, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Think about that. God said to them, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. And all they said was, our carcasses, they're going to fall in this desert. It would have been better for us if we were back in Egypt. We're going to die out here in this wilderness. And God said, you're going to have what you say. What is God hearing about your life? That's why we start off every service speaking life to you. That's why we end every service with a positive faith confession. Why? So your voice can be in God's ears. Friend, I'm telling you what, get your faith up. Somebody said, I've just started walking with the Lord. Mustard seed faith. Well, you know, I don't know all the doctrine. Mustard seed faith. Well, I don't know if I'm able. Mustard seed faith. If your faith is itty bitty, a grain of the little seed you get when you walk out, if it's that little, but you use it, you can change your world. Mountains can be removed. Impossibilities can vanish if we will just use our faith. Have faith in God. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for what you blessed us with. We thank you, Father, for these principles of faith. And Father, we thank you.